Well, I tell you what, sounds good. That was a great day, huh? Well, everybody have a great day. Take care. We'll see you next Sunday. Hey, guys, April Fools. This time we want to go ahead and dismiss our kids to our Kids Zone program. We got a great Easter message for you guys in there, so have fun. See, I knew I wasn't going to fool Mr. Vernon Dahl. He might be 100 years old, but he wasn't about to get up and leave. Right, Mr. Vernon? That's right. Well, I tell you, it is a glorious day, isn't it? It is indeed. I hope that's how you feel. I hope that you've been looking forward to the essence and the majesty that Easter gives us. And, you know, there's no doubt there's been distractions this week along the way. There's been trying to go to the store and salvage what Easter egg candy there is left in the stores for Easter egg hunts. Many have been preparing for Easter lunch, and I'm sure that's on your mind as well, along with other spring-filled activities, which, by the way, yesterday, oh my goodness. How many of you guys sat out and enjoyed the weather yesterday? Man, it was so gorgeous. I hope it's a preview of how spring's going to be, because where Megan and I came from, Chicago only had winter and summer. So it just never made it to spring for whatever reason. But I hope that throughout all these things, you've kept yourself ready to celebrate one of the glorious days that has ever been recorded in history for us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ in itself is a mystery. It's quite honestly the miracle of all miracles, especially if you think about everything that Jesus went through. All of the suffering, all of the anguish, all of the torture, everything that he endured, every aspect of the cross. The only thing holding him up were nails, basically. They might have had a few ropes perhaps here and there, but just hanging by nails, and the way the cross was actually, there's so much I could go into with that. I really could. It would just amaze you how much detail is in the crucifixion itself. But the point of the matter is that after hanging on a cross for hours upon hours, Jesus' physical body could no longer handle it. And he died. He died a physical death. It was this aspect of Jesus being human that puts everything into perspective for us. But there's also the understanding of why. Why did he have to go through this? Why was someone who was viewed as a good man, a good teacher, a good prophet, be subject to something like this? In many respects, it was the religious leaders of his day. They could not accept the truth that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was the promised Messiah. So, whether you believe, or if you're not sure if you believe, this is a day that has a lot of significance for just someone for the things that I just mentioned. And of course, in our generation, though, think about if we ever hear the word resurrected, I think we only think of it in the phrase, and I'm going to use this a lot, is a metaphor. A metaphor. Why do I say that? Well, think about it. When we hear of things like rising from the dead, we initially think in our minds the biggest craze going on right now in culture is zombies. How the zombie apocalypse is coming. We think of shows like The Walking Dead, the George E. Romero movies, and even Disney came out with a version of its own zombie movie. You may admit it, parents. How many of you watched it? Thank you, Josh. Thank you very much. They came out with this Z-O-M-B-I-E-S, zombies. It was basically about cheerleaders and zombies wanting to, all you had to do was wear a certain wrist and it controlled their urges and things like that. But I digress. Many associate just resurrection with that kind of term. They also use it in a metaphor of somebody resurrecting their career, whether it's in sports or business or entertainment. We kind of use that phrase in that respect. We also use it like resurrecting an old building or an old house or an old restaurant that needs a facelift. We seem to think that it's a metaphor. And in many respects, I think many today in the world view Jesus' resurrection as a metaphor. And here's the thing, if you have to be thinking about it that way, you're not alone. There are many, many people throughout the world that look at Jesus as, well, it sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds like a false story. And here's the thing, when I say that you're not the only one, Jesus' own disciples, His own followers, felt the exact same way. And we would think that people who have followed Jesus, have been through all of it, would have this rock solid faith and belief. But that's not the case. So as we get started and get ready to go into God's Word this morning, there's a point I wanted to mention as we kick things off. And it's that doubt still looms over the resurrection of Jesus. Even to today, there's still doubt that looms over the resurrection of Jesus. So let's take our Bibles this morning and let's look and discover the truth for ourselves. I'm going to be reading today from the book of Luke, chapter 24. I'll be spending the majority of time there today. And we're going to get a glimpse of the reality of the disciples and the other followers of Jesus on how they handled this momentous occasion. And then on top of that, how Jesus continued to show just who He really is. So let's look at the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24 as we dive into this story today. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, being the women, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how He told you, while He was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered His words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Last week, in our March to Victory sermon, we mentioned that before Jesus entered Jerusalem, He told His disciples on three occasions that He would be handed over to suffer and die at the hands of the religious leaders. But He always mentioned that 3 days later, He would rise from death. I get a sense that the disciples must have been either had selective hearing or just didn't understand that they only seemed to catch the death part. But they seem to miss those last few words, that one sentence at the end, to put it all together. Maybe, just maybe, the disciples were thinking that this rising from death was just a metaphor. Jesus had used parables before. He'd used different ways to teach people. Maybe they were thinking that this was just another teaching that only was symbolic and not literal. But verse 11 makes it clear that most of the disciples doubted the women's testimony. These women were excited. They had heard. They just saw two men telling them what had happened. And they remembered Jesus' words. And they went and told these men. And for whatever reason, they called it, "Oh, you're just black. You're just mouthing off. You're just making something up." But sometimes, you might just have one in the crowd that hears you. That goes, well, the others aren't really behind this, but I'm curious. And that person was Peter. Of course. It had to be Peter. If you don't know much about Peter, Peter was the stalwart. He was the main disciple. He was the standout. He was the one that actually proclaimed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, when Jesus asked the question of his disciples. He was the one who was willing to take a chance, have the guts, to get out in a fierce storm off of a boat and start making his way to Jesus. Even for a moment, he actually could claim he walked on water. For just a moment. That Peter. It was the same Peter that also denied Jesus Christ on three occasions when he was arrested. It was the same Peter who heard the rooster crow when he realized that Jesus' words to him, that you will deny me, would come true. It's the same Peter who set aside the feeling and the beliefs of the others to go see for himself. And how does the Bible describe that? What does Luke describe him when he went away? He was marveled. He was amazed. And so in your own life, think of it this way. Doubt can be challenged by one step of faith. Doubt can be challenged by one step, one simple step of faith. Now, if it was just one woman saying this, or just one person for that matter, it would be easy to doubt what they were saying. But Luke mentions a few of them by name. He mentions Mary Magdalene and he mentions Joanna. If you've never heard, you've probably heard of Mary Magdalene, but maybe you haven't heard of Joanna. I encourage you, look up Luke 8. You'll hear their short little story right there that shows about what Jesus did for them. Then there's the other Mary, Mary the mother of James. And historians and theologians believe that this is the mother of James, son of Alphaeus, who was one of the 12 disciples. And because of what they saw, they felt that they had to tell the disciples. These women, before they entered the tomb, they were the ones that were helping prepare the body. They were the ones that wanted to make sure they honored Jesus in death. And they were on their way again to do a memorial, perhaps, of what they were going to do for Jesus when they reached an empty tomb. And they had followed Jesus with the 12 in his ministry. So you would think that their testimony of what they had just seen and heard would be valid. But that's just not the case. So only Peter is the one that seems to take their story to heart. So now this sets the stage for Jesus to solidify himself, solidify his authority, and to solidify his resurrection. Let's look at now verses 36 of chapter 24, 36 through 43. Let's read that together. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Jesus takes a moment to make his first appearance, make this opportunity to appear before his disciples since he died and was resurrected. I mean, it's almost like, boom, out of nowhere. It wasn't anything where you saw lights or anything like that, like you see in Star Trek, okay? It wasn't beaming down from heaven or anything like that. Beam me down, Scotty. But he just appeared. And it's just like, And I don't know about you, I would be startled. All of a sudden you're just looking around, you're having fun, and all of a sudden you might be at work, and all of a sudden, boom, there's Jesus. Whoa! Absolutely. They should be startled. Because they thought, again, it's a ghost. It's not the first time that's happened when they've seen Jesus from afar out in the water. They thought he was a ghost at that time too. But again, here's Jesus. And he appears before them. And I think any of us would obviously do that. And immediately Jesus calms them down. He begins to show them that he wasn't a ghost. And he can see that his hands and his feet. And even in the Gospel of John, he even talks about that there's that part where he got pierced in the side. And it says even there, hey, if you want to, take your hands, take your fingers, put them in my side. Know that I am who I am. And so Jesus begins to show convincing proof that he is alive, that he has been resurrected from the dead. And so here's another fact that I want you to get out of this today, is that doubt is extinguished when truth is presented. And I think that's key. Doubt is extinguished when truth is presented. The facts, here's the facts. I've got it right here. Here you go. They could no longer deny that he was alive. And just the icing on the cake, he asked them for something to eat. So you can just imagine, here's Jesus, he's eating some broiled fish, and they say, hey guys, I'm alive, you got the fish breath coming out. Jesus goes just above and beyond here to show that it's me, it's really me, guys. And I think a lot of folks today, when you read this, you ought to think, man, Jesus did everything he could to show his own disciples who he was, because guess what? They were still doubting. And he wanted to make sure any thought, any doubt was extinguished. And did everything he could. But here's the thing. He goes on to remind them of what was said about him in the Old Testament scriptures. Let's read this final part together in Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Not only does Jesus remind them of who he is, but he reminds them that they have a job to do. That it's his part is done. Jesus has fulfilled everything God had required of him. He pointed people to the Father. He used miracles, physical healings at times, only to point people to the Father, not to himself. Then he goes on the mission of redeeming all of us. Redeeming us in this generation now, the generation that Jesus was among. He goes to the cross. He suffers everything that helps us to understand what sin is like. And he takes it upon himself on the cross. And he has literally given his blood and his life so that we might be redeemed by God. But now he has done the unthinkable. He has been risen. He is brought back to us. Not to stay with us though, but to empower the men and the women that were with him to share a message that has been proclaimed for the past 2,000 years and still has relevance for each and every one of us today. That God's wrath has been satisfied for our disobedience once and for all. that Jesus died so that the sin's penalty could be paid. And not only could we receive forgiveness through repentance, but that this good news should be shared with all the nations. And even better, that the same power, I love that last part of the verse there, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, from death, would be given to the disciples and would be passed on to each and every believer in every generation, including today. Christian songwriter and singer Jeremy Camp wrote a song about this very thing. I want you to read and listen to these lyrics. I'm not going to sing it necessarily, but I just want to speak these lyrics to you and let them sink in for you today. It goes like this. I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. Lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when He speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. Lives in us. He lives in us. Lives in us. And then finally the bridge. Greater is He that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory, in victory. Victory. It's what Jesus has. He had it then, He has it now, and He will always be His, even when this world is no more. It's His. And because of that, it is what you and I have. For whatever reason, though, despite all these promises, despite all these great things, we still doubt. Well, today, there's no better day than to lay claim in your life this final statement. And if you don't get anything else out of this sermon today, if there's not any other point that I make today, please get this. Stop doubting and believe. He is alive. Come on, church. Stop doubting and believe. He is alive. See, here's the thing. We got to stop living our lives for Christ as if He's still in the grave. He's not there anymore. Why do we continue to keep looking at Him as if He's dead? Why does our lives reflect the fact that He's dead? He's been alive for so long, it almost feels like we have missed what it is to really live a life that with Jesus is in us, because that's a life where you can tell you feel alive. You know you're alive because Jesus is alive in you. You know, I wish in so many respects that they would find the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Some have guessed as to what it is, but nobody's really found the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. I really wish they would find it. Because they can finally prove without a shadow of a doubt that that tomb is completely empty. And they will see it, and I wish, in some ways, I hope that the old clothes that Jesus was wearing when they buried it and wrapped Him, I hope they're still there too. I wish they would be. But then I was reminded of the words that Jesus said to His disciple Thomas, who was considered the biggest doubter of His resurrection. Listen to these words from John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29. 8 days later, His disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Our victory, His victory, our gain. Because of this victory, we gain freedom. Freedom from what, you say? Freedom from sin's shackles of slavery. Freedom from loneliness in our lives. Freedom from the loveless life. Freedom from the addictions that sin brings us. And freedom from a metaphoric resurrection. We can experience true love, true joy, true peace, true strength, and true hope. And you can experience your glorious day as we celebrate Jesus' glorious day. All you have to do is this. Stop doubting and believe, because Jesus is alive. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for your forgiveness. Father, we ask that this, we go through life. We go through the mundaneness, the busyness, what the culture of our world wants us to accept. And we ask for your forgiveness for the moments that we doubt your presence. We ask you to forgive us for the moments that we doubt you live in us. As we celebrate this day of a glorious resurrection, God, I pray that you would resurrect yourself in us. Lord, as your servant David said in the Psalms, creating me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Do not remove your Holy Spirit from me. And Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus, that if today we need to have our spirits, our spiritual lives resurrected, today would be that day. Whatever is holding us back, whatever chains are binding us, God, may we take that one step of faith. The doubt that clings to our hearts, that tries to build a wall around us to keep us from you. I pray we would take one step of faith today, God, and change all that. To challenge that doubt. And to see it extinguished when we recognize that the truth, that is Jesus Christ, has set us free. And I pray, God, right now, that you would work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe today is the day that needs to happen for you. We're going to stand and sing. And if you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ today, do so as we sing this amazing hymn of just how marvelous, how wonderful our Savior is. If you have a decision to make, come forward as we stand and sing. Amen. Indeed, I hope it has been a wonderful day for each and every one of you, having so many different things. I want to thank all the hard work everybody put in, from our singers, the hard work they've put in this week, to our guys in the back. I don't get a chance to ever recognize those guys. They do a lot. The unseen things that you don't see. So just appreciate everyone's hard work making this service special today. I got a couple of things I want to make you aware of. We are having an Easter egg hunt for our kids. We are going to have it inside. Just unfortunately, I don't know, God, could we have had yesterday's weather today? That's how I kind of felt today. So I was like, oh, well, I have to take what God gives us. So we will have it inside. We do have an Easter bunny somewhere around here, I believe. He's hiding right now. but you might get a chance to see him soon. So we will have that going on. So understand that we will have the kids meet in the activity center. Is that right, Miss Diane? Okay. We'll have the kids meet in the activity center, and we'll need some help from some of you, if you don't mind sticking around, helping us hide some Easter eggs for the kids zone area and in the worship center. The worship center will be for the elementary. The kids zone will be for our nursery and preschool kids, if you have those. And if you need help finding those, see Miss Diane. Raise your hand, Miss Diane. Miss Diane will carry you to where you need to go at that point. Next week, we are starting... I'm sorry. We need stage guards. That's the only way. Stage security for the kids. Because the kids need to recognize, no, your American Idol moment won't be here. Okay? Keep that in mind. Not on this stage. Next Sunday we're going to start a brand new series I'm excited about called We Are Church. And if you go ahead and, Doug, go ahead and put that slide up for me, please, if you don't mind. We're going to be talking about how we can apply first century principles, really getting down to the nitty gritty of what our church can do. Again, if you're not familiar with what we've been about this year, we're talking about loving on people this year as a church, being that as an initiative. We've used the Twitter phrase, hashtag love on, as we love on each other, love on our community, and love on our God as He loves on us. And so that's almost a little bit of a continuation as we talk about some principles within the first century church that we can apply to a 21st century generation and that we can really glean from a lot. So we hope and pray that you will come back next Sunday as we begin that series as well. And then I pray this coming week that you just continue to lift others, people into the prayer list. We mentioned specifically a couple folks today. I do want to take a moment here and pray for Greg Christofferson, who is going to be having prostate surgery to remove his prostate because that area has gotten cancerous. And so that's going to be May 14th. And so, Greg, we're going to be praying for you today, my friend. So I will pray a quick prayer, but then to end our service today, I have a special individual I'd like to bring up and also pray for us to close out our service. And that is Mr. Josue Sr. So, Mr. Josue Sr., will you come join me, please? If you've never heard this man pray, your spirits were about to be lifted.
Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, Señor, te damos infinitas gracias, Señor, en este día porque nos permites congregarnos en tu nombre en este lugar, tu casa de oración. Rogamos, Señor, una bendición para todos mis hermanos en este día, en esta hora y siempre, Señor, que estemos cada día cerca de ti, Señor, haciendo tu voluntad, guardando tus mandamientos, permaneciendo fieles, Señor, hasta el fin de nuestras vidas. Gracias por tu palabra en este día, Señor. Gracias porque es una bendición para nuestras vidas, Señor, el saber y el creer que ha resucitado, Señor, para darnos vida eterna, Señor, en los cielos. Gracias, Señor, por esa bendición, porque todos podemos, Señor, estar gozosos y contentos, porque tú eres el Señor, Señor, que has creado todas las cosas, que nos has dado vida y salud, y Señor, nos tienes aquí con un propósito, Señor, para que cada uno podamos, Señor, acercarnos a ti, hacer, Señor, tu voluntad, guardar tus mandamientos, Señor, y permanecer fieles, Señor, así, hasta el último instante de nuestra vida. Bendice a nuestros hermanos, a toda tu iglesia, en este lugar, aquellos hermanos que no pudieron venir, bendícelos. También, Señor, que tu bendición sea sobre todos. Danos, Señor, el perdón de nuestros pecados cada día para poder estar más cerca de ti, para poder entender y reconocer que tú eres un Dios eterno, lleno de poder, Señor, y de misericordia y de amor para todo el mundo entero. Te bendecimos y te honramos. Te damos la honra y la gloria y rogamos, Señor, que en esta hora nos acompañes a donde quiera que vayamos, cada uno de nosotros. Tu paz, tu misericordia, muere en nuestros corazones, Señor, y vaya con nosotros a donde quiera que vayamos. Todo esto, Señor, te lo rogamos en el nombre y por los méritos de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, que para ti, Señor, sea dada honra y gloria, ahora y siempre, por todos los siglos. Amén.
And God, to your name be glory in all tongues. May it be glorified to you. We celebrate this day, God. Gracias. And Lord, Lord, I pray you be over Greg Christopherson right now. Ease his doubts, ease his fears, God. And let him know that you're with him. God, for all that are going through illnesses and struggles in life, we lift them up to you. Gracias, Jesus Cristo. Glorify your name, Lord Jesus. And bless your name. Thank you for this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus Cristo. Amen. Again, if someone can help us with the Easter eggs, thank you very much. God bless you.